Now, over the past couple weeks, I've been listening to some motivational speakers in my car, just using YouTube. And it's interesting that a lot of them actually end up using the Bible sometimes as reference points. Principles that they're conveying towards people actually end up being used sometimes in the Bible. Now, one of the topics that gets talked about a lot is around the question, why do people give up? And the point that they bring out is that most people aim too low, or they don't aim at all. So what are we aiming for as Christians? What is it that we are doing on a day-to-day basis that sets us up for success? You know, if we're not examining the Bible and examining ourselves and our daily output, then we're failing. And that's when we will give up. Because the guilt, the depression of knowing that you are not putting forth your full effort, your full zeal, it'll consume you. And I know this from personal experience. It's a path you don't want to walk down. Now, Psalm 32, verses 1 to 11, David talks about going from lowliness of spirit to being raised up. But it's verse 8 that really stood out to me reading the scripture. And it says, so it's Psalm 32 and verse 8, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. What is God telling us? Time and time again throughout the Bible, he tells us, I'm instructing you, I'm teaching you, I'm showing the way that you should go. Do it. Isaiah 48 and verse 17 says, Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord, your God, who teaches you to profit, who leads you by the way you should go. Brethren, we can't get around the fact that it's God who does these things for us. It's saying here in Isaiah, he even makes it so that we can profit. Take that however you want to, whether you profit physically, but definitely spiritually. It's God who does that for you. But do you believe that? Jude 24 says this, Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. God can make it so that we will not stumble. How incredible is that? It gives me goosebumps to think about what is being said there. But it's not without consequence, because there is an active component on our part. Let's turn to John 15 and begin in verse 1. John 15 and verse 1. There's an interesting interplay that Christ brings out here, and we'll read verses 1 to 8. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches, and he who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. Verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. And by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. Ask. Expect that God will do what you are asking. But there's more to it than that. Time and again, Christ says here, bear the fruit that is expected, but bear it to the glory of God, so that God will continue to use you and help you to continue bearing fruit. You know, are we too busy trying to figure things out on our own? Trying to find our own ways? So much so that we forget to ask God for his opinion, for his help, for his guidance. Let's look at Matthew 7. We'll read verses 7 to 12. Matthew 7, and beginning of verse 7, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Or what man is there among you, if his son asks for bread, he will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to you who ask him? Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, you also do to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Ask and seek and knock. Be persistent, be tenacious, and don't give up. Don't think that stepping ahead of God is the answer. Wait patiently on God for the answers, we are told. You know, so many times we end up kicking ourselves in our own back because we don't seek God. We have all these worries, all these doubts, these feelings of weakness and frustrations, you name it. And yet God says here, come talk to me. Ask me, what do you want? Do we forget to look forward, brethren? Do we get so wrapped up in our own minds, our own lives, our own problems, that we entirely forget what we are striving for? What we got baptized for? What promises we made to God? And by extension, the body of Christ, our own brothers and sisters? Do we lose momentum and get sucked back into the world and its deceptive way of thinking? It's easy to do. But the true key here is in thinking. What we set our minds on. You know, our minds are a fruitful soil. And it's just like a field. Whatever you plant is going to spring up. The ground doesn't care whether you plant good seed in it or whether you plant wrong seed in it. It's going to come up with a crop one way or the other. Our minds are like this as well. Whatever we plant in our minds is going to reap a harvest one way or the other. Galatians 6, verses 7 to 9 from the NIV says this. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, well, the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. You know, if we allow ourselves to plant unfruitful things and weeds, we won't prosper. It's truly that simple and that powerful. In Matthew 13, verse 24 to 29, Christ gives the parable of the guy, the farmer who sowed his field. And while everyone was sleeping, the enemy came in and sowed tares among the wheat. And then at harvest time, both came up, weed and harvest, the wheat. But that's what had to happen. Now, the enemy mentioned here can be threefold. It can be Satan, it can be society, and it can be ourselves. We've all heard the three S's. But it is Satan here who sowed the wrong things in the field. Satan just needs to give us a little nudge in the wrong direction for us to go tumbling down the wrong path. You know, in Matthew 16 and verse 23, Christ is talking to his disciples. He's telling them about what's going to happen to him. And Peter takes him aside and says, "No, Lord, this ain't going to happen to you. I'll stand up for you. I'll fight for you." And Christ rebukes Peter here because Satan at that moment was working through Peter's carnal thinking. And so you see, it doesn't take much to get us going down the wrong path. That's why we have to be on guard constantly. Notice verse 24 of Matthew 16. Matthew 16, verse 24, right after he gets done dealing with Peter, he says, Jesus said unto his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Deny yourself. Don't give in to your own wants, your own desires. Because they are going to arise. They are going to happen. You know, we can't kid ourselves once we become baptized that everything is going to become easier. Our issues, our problems are going to go away. Because they don't. But the ability to deal with them should start to get easier as we draw closer to God and understand his word more and more, as we make it a part of who we are, not just on the exterior, but deep down inside. When we actually live it, it becomes not just theoretical, but it becomes our desire, our zeal, our faith, and our trust. You know, people say, "Oh, I don't have enough strength to overcome this or that issue." What a cop-out. It's a way of saying, "I don't want to deal with the issues at hand. I want to keep doing the things that I'm doing." But look at it logically. See if it isn't true. You know, if there's true repentance, God wants to work with us, and he will work with us. He put a spirit of zeal and fire in you. But we come to Christ's statement in Matthew 26, verses 40 to 43. Matthew 26 and verse 40. And then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. He said to Peter, "What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray lest you enter temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Watch and pray, lest you enter temptation. Now, why do you think that Paul tells us in Colossians 3, in verse 1 to 3, set your minds? Let's read it. Colossians 3 and verse 1. Colossians 3 and verse 1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above and not things on the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So many times we wander off on tangents and wrong ways because we start down a wrong way of thinking. 1 John 2, verse 15. 1 John 2, 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Time is short. It's passing away. Satan knows this. He's going to try and get at us all the more because of that. Let's also look at 2 Peter chapter 1. Second Peter 1 and beginning of verse 3. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us by glory and virtue, by which you have been given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partake of the divine nature, having escaped through the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. And if you have these things, and they are yours, and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and your election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. This is confirmation of our calling and our election. Brethren, believe that you can succeed. If we go around moping all the time, thinking we can't overcome this or that issue, or because we keep failing, we will never overcome something, then we are setting up ourselves for failure. Instead, we have to realize that God has called us. Think about that. He's called you. He's called me. He's called us from out of billions of people at this time. And do we think we can just walk away from such a calling? Last two scriptures I have is Romans 11 and verse 29, which says, "For God's gifts and his call are irrevocable." What does that mean to you? 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 4 says, "For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you." I hope you take it personally.